Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for another day of your grace, peace, and your mercy. We're thankful that we can come to a place where we are family. We are one body in Christ. And the world seems to be looking for diversity and equity, and that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the body of Christ. True equity, true diversity. Because really, we all become one body. So just hide me behind the cross. Let this be a time of edification for the saints and for me myself as I teach it, because we know, Lord, that your word never comes back void once it goes out. It does the job that it's supposed to do. So help us to just continue to be faithful ambassadors for Christ. And we just thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his finished work. And we're just going to commit this morning into your hands. Amen. It's going to be time to vote, so I figured I'd just get this out of the way and say one thing, and that's every believer that claims to know Christ as Savior, when you walk into that voting booth or you mail in that ballot, I want you to remember one verse. Never before, I think, in my lifetime, has it been easier to just have this one verse in mind, and it's Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, okay? Maybe you've heard this verse before, but this is the perfect verse for when you're going in to vote, and then I'm going to say it, and then that'll be the end of it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You just keep that one verse. Let it burn into your heart and into your mind. The Lord has given us an opportunity as American to have a say-so. Amen. In the way that our country is run. And it's Amen. Important to go out and vote. Amen. So don't vote for the Cretans. And if you don't know who the Cretans are, look that up in your concordance in your Bible, and then you'll be able to figure that out. All right, with that said, let's get into Job and the jailer. And we're going to look at the grace package that is found in Romans 5, 12 through 21. So that's going to be our portion of Scripture. But let's go to Job 9, 2. Right? These are the questions for the ages, right? Job 9, 2. How should a man be just or justified with God? You know, they say Job is one of the earliest books written. This is the age-old question, right? How can a man be just or justified with God? And the jailer in Acts 16:30, right? It's kind of the same thing. What must I do to be saved, right? Those two questions that Job asked and the jailer asked, people are still asking to this day. This is the most important two questions that anyone's ever going to face in their life. So before we get to this grace package that's found in Romans 5, 12 through 21, we're going to have to define a couple things. So when we go to this portion of Scripture, we have a little background and understanding when we read it, okay? Because there are some terms used that we don't really use in the outside world. We call them church words, right? Like the big words, like dispensation, you know. These are words that aren't common outside there, right? But they are common to us, who are used to sitting under sound teaching. So one of these words is unrighteousness. So what is unrighteousness? And that's an... What is unrighteousness? Yeah. Any other? Can you define it? Can we use the word of God to define what unrighteousness is?
Sin.
Okay, so let's go to 1 John 5:17. 1 John 5:17. Someone want to read that? 1 John 5:17. Because we always want to use the Scriptures to define things, right? 1 John 5:17. First one there.
Unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin now unto death.
Okay, so that word is, right? 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. So that word sin is means it's equal, right? So unrighteousness is sin, right? That's how the Bible defines it. So unrighteousness equals sin. Okay? So what is sin?
Not loving God.
That's a sin.
Anything that's antithetical to the nature and character of God.
But where can we go for a verse? What is sin? If we went to 1 John 5:17, we learned that unrighteousness equals sin. So where else would we go for to define sin? The same way we just defined unrighteousness. Let's try 1 John 3:4. Someone want to read that? 1 John 3:4. Not the same personnel.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
Okay, so there's that same term, right? Sin is a transgression of the law. Somebody else want to read 1 John 3:4? Joe, you got 1 John 3:4 there? Joe? That's you.
Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law.
That's that word, right? We don't normally use transgress.
Right. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Okay. So sin is a transgression of the law.
We mean God's law, not the stuff.
Yes, God's law. So unrighteousness equals sin, and sin is a transgression of the law. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some other words for transgression? Because we don't know, that's like not a word we use outside, right? What's another word for transgression? Any kind of words you could think of. What is it?
Trespass.
That's a good one.
Iniquity.
That's another good one. Any others? Maybe breaking, right? Breaking, transgression. I'll give you three words that I got: violation, trespass, offense. Right? Those are good words to use for transgression. Right? It's a violation of God's law. It's a trespass of God's law, and especially that word trespass. We can look in the Old Testament and learn about trespass offerings, right? Or it's an offense, right? You break a rule, that's an offense. You have offended the law. So then what is righteousness?
God's righteous standard.
Okay. So if unrighteousness is sin, and sin is a transgression or a violation, a trespass or an offense of the law, would not righteousness be keeping the law?
Yes.
Not violating it, trespassing it, or offending it? Okay, that's what righteousness is.
Yeah, I think righteousness now is more just relating to God, more of a relationship rather than just the law.
But where does it say that?
The law wasn't given until Exodus, so those before the law obviously sinned, but they didn't transgress any law.
Well, we'll get to that.
Well, she's kind of saying the character and nature of God.
But righteousness and unrighteousness, right? Unrighteousness is sin.
Right.
Sin is transgression, meaning a violation of God's law. Okay? Righteousness is the opposite of that.
Right.
Righteousness is keeping the law, not offending it, trespassing it, or offending it.
Right.
Adam, what did he do?
That's right.
God gave him one law.
Amen.
Correct?
That's right.
Don't eat that fruit.
That's right.
Adam trespassed, right? He violated. Okay. So how many transgressions, violations, offenses, or sins, how many does it take to be unrighteous? Okay, that's an easy one. That would be where? Where would we go for that? James 2? James 2, 9 and 10. Someone want to read that? James 2, 9 and 10? See, because we're church folk here. We know these things. But we want to be able to...
But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all.
Okay. Right. If you have respect of persons, you commit sin, You are convinced of the law, that you are transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in just one point, you're guilty of all of it. So it only takes one one thing, right? So then how many acts of obedience does it take to be righteous, to have righteousness?
Just one.
Well, you're getting ahead of you're getting ahead of yourself. How many acts of obedience does it take to be righteous? Okay. If it's an infinite amount, right? It's a lifetime of obedience in thought, word, and deed. That's what it takes to become righteous. That's go ahead.
I was going to throw in there, but I said one.
Yes.
And that is receiving Christ, because if you don't receive Christ, you can do nothing else matters.
Yes. 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 But this is how. Yeah. That's why I meant you're getting ahead, or you're getting into Romans 5. That's what we're going to be covering. But that's good, right? But it is a lifetime of obedience in thought, word, and deed. We know the Lord Jesus Christ said, right, if you even think about that, you've transgressed the law, okay? That's why the life of Jesus Christ is so important. he is in thought, word, and deed. He is the only one who never transgressed, never sinned. That's because he was God, okay? It was impossible for him to even be tempted of sin. It was impossible for him to even sin. So now prayerfully we have a little better understanding of why Job and the jailer's question is so important to understand and grasp, right? We've looked at some terms that are not used by the outside world. But now you should understand them well enough that you can share that with your family members or your friends. Like, let's get down to the basics here. What is righteousness? What is unrighteousness? Who has it? Who doesn't have it? What it takes to get it, right? So how should a man be just or justified with God? Job 9:2 and Acts 16:30. What must I do to be saved? Amen. So let's open our Bibles now to Romans 5, 12 through 21. And that's where we're going to be. And let's see if we can find everything that comes in this wonderful grace package. That's what I call it, a grace package. Everybody there?
Yep.
We're going to start in verse 12. So wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, who's the one man?
Adam,
okay. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. That's what our brother Boyd was talking about. That meant that God was not punishing sin. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the same manner that Adam sinned. Adam's transgression, right? Who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, right?
Amen.
Many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's look at a couple things here. I see five things in this grace package, okay? Five things that I believe are inseparable. So let's see if we can go through the scriptures and let's see if we agree on this, okay? Number one, we have the grace of God, correct? That's Romans 5:15. You've got to open up two Bibles here. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, right? Okay, so we have the grace of God in verse 15, right? Which is by one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many, and the gift by grace. So we have the grace of God. And this grace talks about a gift, right? Same thing in verse 15, right? The grace of God and the gift by grace. Okay, so verse 15 talks about God's grace. And it also mentioned that there's a gift attached to this grace. Okay? Are you following me so far? This gift is a free gift, right? That's verse 16. Okay? Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift. Right? So verse 16 is telling us that this gift that God's grace provides is a free gift. Okay? Are you following the order here? It's a free gift. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. This free gift has something to do with justification, right? That's what we just read in verse 16. So the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So this free gift here has something to do with justification. That's verse 16. And what else? It has to do with righteousness, right? That's verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So are we following everything here verse by verse? Okay, right? We have the grace of God in verse 15. That grace talks about a gift in the second part of verse 15. That gift is free. That's verse 16. This free gift has to do with justification. That's verse 16. And righteousness. And that's verse 17. And then we learn in verse 18 something about this righteousness, right? We learn that it is Christ's righteousness. Okay? That's verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, who's that? So we know that this righteousness is talking about Christ's righteousness, right? Since he's the only one that lived a perfect life, never transgressed against the law. So by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. So this righteousness, right? It provides life. That's verse 18, right? Justification of what? Life, okay? And there's something about this life. Go down to verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto what kind of life? Eternal life. Okay, by Jesus Christ our Lord. So these are the five things in Romans chapter 5 that I see that's part of this grace package, right? We have God's grace, right? That was talked about in verse 15. His grace provides a free gift, right? This free gift has to do with what? The very righteousness of Jesus Christ, right? The gift of righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness, right? Which leads to what? Which leads to our justification, right? How should a man be just or justified with God, right? So this righteousness through this free gift helps us to be justified, right? And that is unto eternal life, right? We go from being in Adam into in Christ. This is the grace package. You can't separate one from the other, right? These are all one thing because we just went through verse by verse, just that small portion. That's the whole point, is I want you to be able to take that Romans 5, 12 through 21. I want you to be able to explain it to someone to so they really understand the predicament that we're in. Because we all know we're all sinners, right? We've all disobeyed God's law. But there's one man who didn't, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That's why his life, death, burial, and resurrection are so important. He's the only one. And this package is the only thing that can give us life that is eternal, okay? And that's God's grace, which provides a free gift, which is Christ's righteousness, which leads us unto justification, to eternal life, okay? So then, how do we get this grace package? How do we get this wonderful deal that the Lord is offering? What do we got to do? Call now. Let's go back up, right? Job 9:2, this question, how can a man be just or justified with God? Go back up to Romans 5:1 and 2. Romans 5:1 and 2. Someone want to read that? This is how we get that grace package.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope for the glory of God.
Yeah, okay. So we are just or justified by faith, right? This verse says we're justified by faith in something that gives us access to this wonderful grace package, right? Where we're going to take our stand, okay? And that makes us rejoice. So Romans 5:1 and 2 is pointing to something.
Amen.
Okay? Somewhere we're going to stand, right? All our hopes are going to rest on this. Now, this is to answer the second question, right? The jailer, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he was told what by the Apostle Paul? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So believe what? Where do we stand? Right? Those are the two questions. Where do we stand? What do we got to do? What do we believe? It's important, right? What we need to believe. It's important because it says we're justified. We get this grace package by our faith in believing something. Yeah. And we know it's someone because it says believe on.
Right, right, right.
Not in, on.
Right.
On what? On his righteousness.
Right, right, right.
So that we can get this grace package. Okay? So where do I stand? Now that's where you go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1, verses 3, and verses 4. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, in order to get this grace package that God is offering today. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. That's our salvation right here. That's talking about our soul salvation is in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? That's why I left verse 2 out. Verse 2 is something different. And we'll go through that maybe the next Sunday I'm up here. We'll talk about that. But that is our standing. Right? Romans 5, 1 and 2, we're justified by faith, wherein we have access to this grace package where we're standing on. This is what we're standing on. Our stand is our salvation. And what is it? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that which I also believed, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how we get access to that grace package, is by simply placing our faith, our hope, and our trust, because we know we can't do it on our own. We know that we were unrighteous people, and the only thing that can save us is someone's righteous act, right? Christ's righteousness. That's the only thing. So our faith, hope, and trust is in His faithfulness, not our own. And that's where we stand. We stand upon that. And we can throw in all kinds of verses, right? We want to stand on what? The solid rock, not the sinking sand. We got 100 verses we could throw in here throughout this whole portion that we just covered. We could throw 50 verses in there to make the point. But I wanted to make it simple, right? Simple. And sometimes when you have such simplicity, it's really sweet. Because now you should have a portion of Scripture that you can grasp and that you can understand and that you can teach to someone and that you can defend, right? That's the whole purpose, is to defend it. Now, if we want to go back to Romans 5:12, since we got a little bit more time here. verse 15. But does that make sense? This grace package, did that make sense? Okay. So some of the other things that we can glean, right, from Romans 5 is that, like verse 15 says, not as the offense is the free gift. Now we could take that in a whole other direction, because there are those that think that the offense, that the free gift comes the same as the offense, right? The offense was of one man that condemned everybody, and then there's people out there that teach because of the righteousness, everybody's saved. That's not what this says.
Amen.
It says not as the offense is the free gift. The free gift is not the same as the offense. The offense was one man,
Amen.
Everybody got condemned. But the free gift is only if you take it and take your stand on it.
Amen.
You have to personally believe
Amen.
That, right?
Amen.
So that's a good verse to point out to
Amen.
People.
Amen.
This, there is no universal reconciliation. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
A lie.
Amen.
And this is one of those verses where you can defend.
Amen.
Defend. You take them to Romans chapter 5 and you defend this truth. That's not as, it's not as the same as condemnation. That was one to everybody being condemned. But the free gift is that you have to accept this free gift, right? And everything is contained in it. There is no separating any of it. You can't do things to be justified. Justification comes in this package. You can't get justification anywhere outside of this grace package, right? There's a lot of people out there that say, well, it's stages, right? No, you take it to Romans chapter 5. No, this all comes together. These are inseparable truths. But people try to confuse it. It's not that confusing. It's pretty simple. You know? For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, right? Because of Adam. We're all sinners because of Adam. We're all unrighteous, right?
Amen.
Much more they which receive abundance of grace. See? Those that receive it. That means you need to believe it.
Amen.
You personally need to believe it, right? Not my dad was a preacher or my uncle was a preacher. I hear that all the time. You know, what are you standing on?
Amen.
You ask people, what are you standing on? They're pointing to all kinds of different things. But if they're not pointing to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're either mistaken or they just need some help. Let's go through this again. Right? Because not everyone knows the exact moment they got saved. Right? I can't point to it because people think it's about emotions. No, it's about understanding this truth. Not only like a child. God wants childlike faith, right? When you tell your child something, they believe you. So you parents better not be lying to your kids about things because they're believing you. You don't want to be the first person that's found to be a liar to your kids. And we can go into all other areas, you know, where I've lied to my kid because I thought, that was, you know. Whatever. So therefore, as by the offense of one, verse 17, judgment came upon all men. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift is available to all men unto justification of life.
That's
18. For by one man's disobedience, 19, Adam, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Not all.
Amen.
Not all.
Amen.
Not all.
Thank you. Right.
Not all.
Amen.
But this is Christ's righteousness that God has given us. So let's start acting like
Amen.
The righteous people that God sees us to be.
Amen. Amen.
There's
Amen.
Too many people out there that are saved and they're using terms and they're not living their lives the way they
Amen.
Should. And I know I
Amen.
Used to too.
Amen.
But it's time to wake up.
Amen.
If there was ever a time, if you were sleeping in your Christian walk, now's the time to wake up and start act, because the unsaved world's throwing around these words,
Amen.
Righteous.
Amen.
Oh, this is righteous and that is righteous. They
Amen.
Don't even understand what the word means. But that's talked about in, you know, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you know. Yeah. So is that pretty clear to everyone?
Amen.
Questions or comments? I just want you to be it. Yes. What's your name, brother?
Lamorris Jones.
Lamorris?
Lamorris, yes.
Lamorris. Okay. Nice to meet you, Lamorris.
Yes, sir.
Brother Jones.
Well, you know, God in His Word is the object of my faith.
Mm.
You know, believing God, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood.
And through faith alone, Christ is the subject of all.
Amen. He's the subject of all good news in the scriptures, right?
Yes.
There is no good news in the world outside of Jesus Christ.
Right. So you, we trust in his death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life.
Mm.
But we believe God.
Yes.
In his word.
Yes. Yes. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ said, every word that comes out of my mouth is what? Are those words that my Father gave me.
Right.
So all the scriptures,
amen.
All the scriptures from end to amen,
amen,
are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that wrote those words. He's the one that inspired those men.
So we say we must believe God.
Yes. Yes.
In Christ, death, burial, and resurrection.
Yep. And when we look at some other scriptures, who is the only one that could live a sinless life?
Amen. Amen.
That's because Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
He is God.
Amen.
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God.
Amen.
And he took on flesh.
Amen.
Right? He became.
Amen.
And became identified with us.
Amen.
Human beings. But he was.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Fully man and fully God.
Amen.
Because of his perfect life.
Amen.
And his righteousness. That's why God raised him from the dead. Because death could not hold on to him.
Amen.
Yes.
2 points I want to make. Jesus wasn't forced to do that either, by the way.
Amen.
And we shouldn't have to be forced to do it either.
No.
And in verse 17, Romans 5:17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. My point I'm making is that for if, in other words, Paul's saying, now, if it is so, act like it.
Yeah, amen. It's a challenge, right? The word if is a challenge. And I like Brother Oscar hammered that home last week. I appreciate that. The word if is a challenge. Not if. No, no. If then. If then, then act like it. Yeah. We might not always act righteous, but we are. We are righteous people. But we need to act like it. There's too many hypocrites out there.
Amen.
Now's the time to stand tall, man, because...
In here. You said out there, too many hypocrites in here.
There's too many hypocrites everywhere.
Too many in the church.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, boy.
Justification should never be confused with forgiveness. Forgiveness is taking away the negative. Justification includes both, taking away the negative and the imputation of Christ's positive righteousness.
Yes.
So justification is not God making us just as if we'd never sinned.
Yes.
Justification is not God declaring us innocent. It's God declaring us eternally righteous.
Yes, because of our faith.
Because the positive righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us.
Yes.
People oftentimes confuse forgiveness and justification.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They are not the same.
Yeah.
They are not the same. And, of course, Roman Catholicism, they teach an infused righteousness.
Yes.
You're saved, and then you have to keep your righteousness by what you work, and then ultimately you go to heaven and you receive eternal life.
Yeah.
Justification is God's declaration.
Amen.
Of God's imputed righteousness.
Yep. Right. How then can we be just? Because he is the just one and the justifier of him that what?
Believeth
in Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. But
the righteousness that we have is a gift righteousness.
Amen.
It's not Christ earned righteousness by law keeping, and then that law keeping is imputed to us. No, it's a gift righteousness. It's not a legal righteousness in that sense.
It's his righteousness. It's his very righteousness. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. God's righteousness.
I like how you said the grace package, because what you said earlier before we started about conservatism and activism, and we should suffer not for that, but for being a Christian.
Yes.
Because a lot of Christians want to fall into the conservative, the public Democrat, and all them, and choose a side, but instead of choosing the side of truth and showing that this is what we should be doing instead of promoting all that, because they fall, just like January 6th and all that, and people fall into something that's that backfires and all that. So
yep.
Even though, you know, I just like that because, you know, that's what we shouldn't be, because I see a lot of...
There's a lot of Christians stepping in traps and they're getting swayed and...
Because I was, you know, I was there, you know, because I follow what's going on in the world.
Sure.
I know what's going on. And I, you know, and yeah. I was there, finally, you know, I find myself saying, hey, you know, this is what's going on, the globalists,
yep.
You know, this, which is true.
Yes.
It's kind of a deterrent in itself because...
Yeah.
You want to be...
Because nobody out there is talking about this stuff. None of them. I don't care what side. None of them are. Yeah, none of them are. But they sure are throwing around a lot of biblical terms, right? And I think the Word of God has something to say about that, about the last days, how people are going to be using God's Word, but denying the power thereof.
Right. Speaking of biblical terms, most churches use the term salvation, and they don't mean salvation. They mean probation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They change justification, they change salvation, the word term salvation, they throw those terms out.
That's why Romans chapter 5 makes sure to understand it's a free gift. You can't work for a free gift.
Right, right, you can't, right. Most churches are teaching a probation gospel.
But that's not our job to worry about what they're teaching.
I think where a lot of Christians get sidetracked with these politicians, they get up and tell all these, well, they make their speech. Would be a bunch of lies.
Oh, sure.
And then at the end, they say, God bless America.
Oh, I know.
God. But God ain't in no mess.
Yeah.
And that's what they fail to, you know, realize.
When you mention the word God, right, that does not offend people.
Yeah.
You know what the authority is that offends people? The scripture said is what the authority is that offends people. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That's when people start getting offended.
Exactly.
Ooh. Don't mention that authority. You could say God because everybody's got their own thought about who God is.
That's exactly right.
But it's when you start praying in the name, and that's what the name means. In the name of means with the authority of. That's what that means in all the scriptures. It's with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what offends people.
Be not conformed to this world.
That's right. Be transformed. But that's a portion of scripture.
Right.
That I hope you can take now and grasp and teach, wow. Explain and defend it. Because right now there's a big battle going on for truth, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that don't understand how to. They might know about their faith, but they can't defend it. And God needs people that are able to defend their faith, whether up here or at the grocery store or in your own house. Or at the Walmart parking lot,
right.
Or wherever you're at, or whatever your platform is, and don't worry about Georgia,
amen.
Don't worry about Pennsylvania,
amen.
Where you live, you worry about that neighborhood, you worry about your neighbors. I worry about Oak Forest, and I pray for Oak Forest,
amen.
I pray for Sauk Village, I pray for Hazelcrest, you know, whatever neighborhood you're living in, don't worry about all these other
amen.
Things that are going on in the world, don't worry about
amen.
That. You worry about your own neighborhood because God needs ambassadors, active ambassadors, not activists, active ambassadors.
The best way to defend your faith is to live it.
Amen.
And that's what we don't do.
Amen.
We talk it, but we don't live it.
But that's why we're here, to encourage one another and tell one another, you're not alone. You're not alone. Call someone. You're having some struggles? Call somebody. Tell somebody. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. That's the purpose of the local assembly.
Amen.
Because I can't get this
amen.
Out in sometimes my regular family,
amen.
In the flesh.
Amen.
I can't get this. And that deeply saddens me.
Yeah.
It saddens me. Hi, Mom, if you watch.
Yeah.
Anything else? Boyd?
I forgot to mention something. Even in our hymnals, we'll use the term pardon and acquittal.
Yeah.
Those technically are not good terms to use for justification.
Right.
Pardon is the idea that you have a penalty against you,
right.
But you're let off without the penalty being paid.
Yes.
Of course, Christ paid it. Acquittal is a judge saying, well, the accusation against that individual isn't legitimate.
Yeah.
Well, the accusation against us was legitimate. We're sinners.
Yes.
So they use those terms in the hymnals and so forth, and you'll see it in Christian literature. They're using those terms in a loose fashion, but technically they're not the same thing as justification.
Yeah. Well, that's why Romans is so important. Okay. Romans is the foundation. where our Christian walk is based. All the rest of Paul's epistles are built on the foundation of Romans. So every believer needs to have a firm understanding of Romans, because that's your foundation. Those are foundational truths, right? Paul, God lays it out like a court case. By Romans chapter 3, you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the way Romans is laid out. That's why God put it there. So this is, these are vital truths and important.
But not. One more thing is just and the war in Ukraine and Putin and a lot of things that are going on, America being involved and all that, and a lot of people want to say Putin's bad, or you know, or Ukrainian president is bad, and everyone, they all got their thing, but we should be praying for all of them.
We said that right away in this church, right when it first happened. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Russia and Ukraine and all over the globe. Right now, Brazil's having some problems with their election. I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I make sure to tell them, remember, we're not to suffer as conservatives, we're to suffer as Christians. That's a big difference. Lee, one more thing?
I think this is the mistake we make, too. Just praying for our Christian and brothers, sisters, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
The scripture said pray for all men.
Yes, all men. Yes.
Know, God can turn their hearts. And, don't care who it is.
We're all living examples of that. Yes, sir.
You can do that. But back to what Boris said about acquittal and pardon. Well, both of those things are good because Satan is doing it. He's constantly accusing us.
Yep.
And the scripture said that Jesus is constantly saying, hey, not guilty.
Yeah.
He brings us up.
Yep.
And sometimes Satan be right. We do be guilty.
Sure.
But all that stuff been paid for.
Sure. So when God says, when we see these terms, justification, righteousness, grace, it's a package. Every time it's mentioned, God's talking about the package. Not just because you don't see some of the other terms like justified or righteous or eternal life. When God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, he meant my grace package.
Amen. Amen.
That comes with a free gift.
Amen.
Christ's righteousness, justification unto eternal life. That's sufficient for each one of us, no matter what we're dealing with. We're saved, we're justified, we're going to heaven, we've been given Christ's righteousness. He says, that's enough.
Amen.
That's enough for you. It's not just my grace, it's my package. This package, and there's all kinds of other things involved, but that's a good way to represent Romans chapter 5. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just a little portion of time in the scriptures, in your eternal word. We thank you for the righteous life of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived that perfect life that we desperately needed. And then he sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And then he was buried, and then he rose again on the third day for our justification, Lord, so that we might be just before you. And we're thankful that you left us your word, and that clearly and easily spells these things out. We were all unrighteous because of what Adam did, but because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, he's offering this wonderful grace package to anyone who will come and admit that they're unrighteous and that they need the very righteousness of Jesus Christ in order to gain access to you. And that all gets provided the moment we place our faith, hope, and trust in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just thank you, Father. Watch over Pastor Ricky as he brings the next message. And I just thank you so much for this wonderful body of believers who love your word and love to discuss it and live it out. Amen.
Amen.